T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
Good morning, good morning. And a happy Tuesday out there to all you people out there at 5 a.m. getting up for work, doing whatever you got to do to make a living, or you're just really getting in from a really long night. I don't know which one it would be, but yesterday had a Giants game, quite frankly, that's for the ages, and they did stuff that hasn't been done since I was born. That's not a lie. Really, since I was born. And I want to get into all those stats, record-breaking statistics, as I just become redundant with those words. But we're going to talk about this game. We're going to talk about this 19-2 victory in game one of the doubleheader, as it was a big day for guys with long hair that look like rock stars. Jeff Samardzija coming out, throwing 9 Ks in 7 innings. Derek Rodriguez getting the win in game two, but most importantly, Brandon Crawford with an 8 RBI game. And also later on in the show, we're going to have some comments from Michael Irvin and Alex Boone, who were on the station yesterday. And it's NFL Insider Week all week on 95.7 The Game. So we're going to be having some great guests for you throughout the week. And Michael Irvin was one, and he came yesterday with some fire. So we're going to play some of that for you later on. It's going to be all about the Niners, the Raiders, whatever. It's whatever's to come with Jimmy Garoppolo, because the expectations for him are insurmountable this year. But real quick, we got to get to this 19-2 win. And I want to start out in the top of the first. Germán Márquez got the start, and Brandon Belt got the nod to lead off while Buster Posey's batting second. I'm never going to get used to that. And after back-to-back knocks, Alex Dickerson got things going early with an RBI single. And, you know, that never seems like a big deal. It's just an RBI single to start out the game. But then with two runners on, Brandon Crawford comes up and, well, he does this.
To left field, hit well. Dahl back. At the wall! Out of here!
My goodness. And he might have hit that okay, but that ball never came down until it landed in the seats. It just kept going, and that's what happens. And not only this altitude, but today, as hot as it is, that ball is absolutely going to jump off the bats of these hitters if they get it up in the air.
Shout out to NBC Sports Bay Area for the audio, and little does Sean Estes know that on the call that they'd be scoring 15 more of these things. But Brandon Crawford got things going, and right after that, young Yaz, Mike Yastrzemski, comes through in the clutch.
Driven high and deep into right center field. It is out of here!
Buckle up.
Well, that was, we're not going to make Yastrzemski feel bad and say that was a Coors Field home run. That ball was absolutely tattooed.
It was. It went 433 feet, and the one thing that gave me hope about this game is that these guys that are getting the runs on the board as you go down the list, they're not these dudes that are about to get traded. Now, I'm not saying that they need, that this game is any indication that they're going to actually make a wild card. I'm not saying that this is going to make a difference toward the July 31st trade deadline. But when you got a guy like Brandon Crawford, who has a no-trade clause in his contract, you got Jeff Samardzija, who gets some run support, gets a 5-0 lead in the first, and he just dominates. There's nothing more you can really ask from that. So then we fast forward to the top of the third, and this is the big inning for them. And after a second inning that featured a couple of strikeouts, you figured the Giants were just done scoring runs for a while. You figured that was just a first inning surge. But in the top of the third, they got things going again. And after Sandoval strikes out to start the inning, now keep that in mind, Sandoval strikes out to start the inning, Dickerson and Crawford get a double and a single respectively. And the single by Brandon Crawford was one that Trevor Story ended up losing in the Sun. So they got a little lucky there. But Young Yaz, I don't know if that nickname works, but it works for me. Young Yaz comes through again.
Wrapped into right center field, and nobody's there. It's going to score one. Crawford being waved, and he is going to score. So Yaz clears the bases.
As Yaz is right there on second, Kevin Pillar, guy who comes in, starts out with a grand slam to open up the season. Giants fans are in love with him. He barreled one with a double of his own.
70th pitch. Driven to left. And Dahl is going to have it rush right by him. Here comes Yastrzemski. He's going to score. And into second base with a double is Pillar.
Believe it or not, this dude's exit velocity when he hits the ball, he can actually hit it pretty hard. And that ball went 110-plus miles an hour. You don't really see that often from Giants hitters anymore, and that's been a big issue because exit velocity and launch angle and whether you barrel the ball or not are there the new analytics right now in baseball, and you really haven't seen the Giants do all that much in terms of that. But Joe Panik continues the third with his own RBI single. He brought Pillar home, ended up making it 9-0. Then Samardzija does his job, gets a sack bunt, gets Panik to second, gets the game to two outs, gets the inning to two outs. Then Brandon Belt ends up hitting him in with an RBI single, brings home Panik. Bud Black goes to the bullpen, brings in Jesus Tinoco. That's the end of Germán Márquez's day. And with a 1-1 count, one buster, Gerald Posey comes to the plate.
Posey drives one. Center field, hit well. Desmond back, looking up. It is out of here.
Just one of those days for the Giants offense.
How is Sean Estes so calm there? It's not just one of those days for the Giants offense. This is a day you don't normally see, even though it was only 12-0 up to this point. It's not just one of those days. They aren't the Dodgers. It's not that casual. The Dodgers won 16-2 yesterday, and that's a casual thing for them. Now, that's just one of those days for them. This isn't a normal day. This isn't just one of those days for the Giants when Buster Posey is hitting his second home run in 4 days, and he ended up finishing 2-for-5 on the day. He's hitting .390 over his last 11 games, and I told you to keep in mind that Pablo Sandoval opened up the inning with a strikeout. Well, he closed out the inning with a ground out, too, to get the third out. It's funny. It was a 7-run third inning, and the one guy, Pablo Sandoval, who's really been the Giants' best hitter as of late, or not even as of late, just in the entire season, hitting .285+, and knocking in some home runs, getting some RBIs too. He's at least been keeping the locker room alive. He's a big locker room guy by all accounts. He's a big locker room guy, and he's been at least trying this season. And with the Red Sox, you don't know how that was, but luckily the Red Sox are still paying him, thankfully. But he seemed to be the only one that didn't really get going in this 19-2 slugging. And there's never a worse feeling than that, probably, as a baseball player, especially as a professional baseball player. I knew there wasn't anything worse than that. Whenever your team was up a big lead and you didn't even do anything, nothing worse than that. But we fast forward to the top of the sixth, and after Pablo Sandoval, he reached first off of an error by Garrett Sampson, then Brandon Crawford continues his tear, and this guy, I don't even have the home run in front of me. I don't even have the sound of it. This guy, Brandon Crawford, hits a 443-foot bomb, and, I mean, that looked like it would have reached the cove if that were back home, but obviously it's Coors Field, so the ball does travel a little farther, especially in that altitude and especially in that heat, as Sean Estes mentioned. But the thing is, you're listening to the sound from NBC Sports Bay Area, and Dwayne Kuiper and Sean Estes are as relaxed as they could be, trying just to not go a little nuts. And, oh, yeah, by the way, at this point, the Rockies broadcasters had to scribble out the score for a couple of innings just so they can forget that they were down by 10-plus runs with nothing else on the board. But young Yastrzemski, young Yaz, he stayed hot. He got a single, and then Kevin Pillar hit him home, making it 16-0. Then in the top of the eighth, they finally retire Brandon Crawford to open up the inning in his fifth at-bat of the game, so he ended up being 4-for-5 at this point. Then young Yaz, yet again, comes through, gets on base, and then Panic hits a shot to right field.
Panic drives one into right center field. Is Dahl going to get there? He's not. And on the move is Yastrzemski. And they're going to send Yastrzemski in, and he's going to score. And Panic's got a double, and it's 17-2.
17-2, and Yastrzemski was on first, and that one wasn't even really hit all that far away in between the outfielders. That one just missed the outstretched glove of David Dahl, and Yastrzemski already had a bead on it, and he was already rounding second by the time the ball got down. He must have known something. It looked like maybe it could have possibly been caught, but Yastrzemski with the base running there, so they ended up making it 17-2. Then in the top of the ninth, Tyler Austin finally gets an at-bat, probably going to play in that second game. Then he flies out to start the inning. Buster Posey gets hit by a pitch. Then Donovan Solano, in his only at-bat of the game, singles and gets Posey to second. Alex Dickerson gets the walk to load the bases. And, oh yeah, by the way, you know who's pitching is Mark Reynolds. The Mark Reynolds. I'm not going to lie to you. When I was watching this game, I saw Mark Reynolds come up to the plate, come up to bat, hitting 143, whatever, 200 on base percentage. And I looked at the TV and said, Mark Reynolds still in the league? Because that dude used to mash when he was with every other team in baseball. And you know what? Whatever. Good on him. Look, good on him to keep it going. But he came in and he pitched in the ninth inning. And Brandon Crawford, I mean, yeah, he was cold for the day. He comes in with the bases loaded and does this.
Up the middle and a base hit. Solano's going to score, so Crawford knocks in two more.
Well, let's make that eight for the day for Brandon Crawford.
Shout out NBC Sports Bay Area for the audio. Again, Sean Estes, unbelievably casual. Only his eighth RBI of the day. And, I mean, if you look at these little records that he's breaking, it's not just an eighth RBI of the day. Here are little stats for you for what Brandon Crawford did, okay? He went 5-for-6 with 2 home runs, 8 RBIs. He became the third Giants player since the franchise moved to San Francisco in 1958 to drive in 8 runs in a single game. So the first San Francisco Giant to drive in 8 runs. He joined Willie Mays and Orlando Cepeda. And they haven't done that since 1961. So since 1961, no one has scored 8 RBIs in the game. And he's also the first Giants player with 2 homers and 8 RBIs in a game since Mays. And then this one was surprising. He became the first middle infielder to post 5 hits and 8 RBIs in a game since the RBI came official in 1912 or 1920. Since the RBI became official. I mean, I understand that middle infielders, historically, they're not supposed to hit. They're mostly supposed to be elite defenders. But you know what? This is the shift. This isn't going to be the last middle infielder to do this. Guaranteed. Someone's bound to do it. A Carlos Correa is bound to hit 2 home runs and 8 RBIs, I think. I'm surprised Jose Altuve hasn't done it. I mean, you're going to have Ozzie Albies of the Braves. He's a young guy. He's possibly going to do it. There's a bunch of guys out there, especially middle infielders. What they're doing now and just the size and the strength that they're going with, it's different. So I feel like Brandon Crawford won't be the last, but he was the first, and that's kind of a big deal. And the reason I'm sort of just going through a recap here is because it's a historic type of game. And on the other side, I'll read off all the little just nuances and how why this is important and how big of a game this was for the Giants, regardless of the bigger picture. I know everyone seems to look at the bigger picture when it comes to this, but we need to enjoy this first game. Plus, I got to actually mention Jeff Samardzija again because he's been outstanding in these past few starts, these past three starts, rather. He's been killing it. So we're going to get into that. Plus, later on in the show, Michael Irvin, Alex Boone, they joined the station yesterday. It's NFL Insiders Week all week on 95.7 The Game. So we have some great sound to play for you. Stephen Langford in with you, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagarakis.
Stephen Langford in with you. Anna Kagarakis off for the week as the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Because it was a big day for the guys with the long hair, all three of them. Jeff Samardzija with the win. Derek Rodriguez with the win. Brandon Crawford coming through with 8 RBIs, setting a record for a middle infielder. And from the 707 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, Fernando Tatis Sr., 2 grand slams in 1 inning with the Cardinals versus the Dodgers. This is true, but he was a third baseman, not a middle infielder. And as I mentioned, he went 5-for-6 with 8 RBIs, and he's the first middle infielder to do so since the RBI was incepted in 1920, which is mind-boggling to me. That's the one that stands out the most. Now, he's the first Giants player since Willie Mays and Orlando Cepeda to drive in 8 RBIs, but they hadn't done that since 1961. So that's just as impressive, but Willie Mays also hit 2 home runs also in his game in 1961. I remember it well. Remember it well. Sitting in the living room, drinking a nice cool soda pop, watching the San Francisco Giants. No, not really. Not really. But I did mention that it was a big day for the guys in, with long hair. And Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. I want to know, whose hair would you rather have? I was thinking about that. Jeff Samardzija's got an interesting look because he puts all of it behind his ears and he looks like he could have a mullet if he really wanted to. Derek Rodriguez, he's just got those long black locks and they look great. And Brandon Crawford's got that look. Like, I don't think I've ever seen his hair look dry. His hair always looks greasy. It's like, has that guy's hair ever been dry? Can't believe I'm wondering that at 5 in the morning. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Whose hair would you rather have? Because I know you all wished you had those locks, man. I know you wish you had those locks. And from the 707 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, Giants still in last place. Trade B-Craw. That's what I was thinking about yesterday. And the thing is, you can't trade Brandon Crawford because he's got the no-trade clause in his contract. And the thing that should at least give you hope, and again, I'm trying, you got to enjoy it for what it is. But when you're looking at it in the bigger picture, yeah, of course they're in last place. They're, whatever, 3.5 game out of the wild card. But that really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things because there's 2 months left to go in baseball. I understand that. But yesterday when you get guys like Panic coming through, Alex Dickerson coming through, Mike Yastrzemski coming through. Mike Yastrzemski's been really good. Austin Slater didn't even play. Donovan Solano didn't even play. But you got young guys who are producing right now, especially in this month of July, and I think that should at least be a positive. And these guys aren't going to get traded. Maybe Solano down the line. Not sure about Yastrzemski. I mean, it looks like they might need to keep him around, but they're making a case for themselves. And Alex Dickerson, he's, 29 years old? So we'll see if they keep him around as well. But it's just, you've got guys that are, and Jeff Samardzija too, he's got 1 more year left on his deal, and you don't expect that anyone's going to take on the $18 million contract that he's owed next year. But listen to these stats from the last 3 starts of Samardzija, all right? In the last 3 starts, he's gone 2/3 innings. So on average, about 7 to 8. 12 hits, 4 earned one runs, 3 walks, 17 strikeouts, and he has a 1.66 ERA in the month of July. I'm not saying he's going to keep it up. I'm not saying that he's going to end the season with a below 2.5 ERA, even though it's just under 4 right now. I'm not saying any of that, but at least when you got a guy like Brandon Crawford who's out here just hitting bombs.
To left field, hit well. Dahl back. At the wall! Out of here!
My goodness. That's the sort of thing you need. And shout out NBC Sports Bay Area for the audio. But it's wait, probably too little too late. But right now, it's at least fun to watch. And you can't deny that. Especially as a Giants fan, you can't deny that. I know a lot of people have gone off it for a little bit just because they feel like the team's stuck in a rut, but they're putting up crooked numbers, especially in this month of July. So we'll see. From the Chill Not About text line 95795, from the 510, they'd go with Brandon Crawford just because of the way it looks with the hat. Interesting. Crawford's hair does look good under the hat, but I could argue that Derek Rodriguez's looks just as good. Looks just as good. By the way, Brandon Crawford also continued in the second game with a home run, and it ended up being the insurance that they needed as they got the 2-1 victory in game two. But from game one, it was kind of historic. There were some milestones set, some records. Let me list some off for you. In the last 11 games, the Giants have scored 94 runs. And that's more than any Giants team has produced in an 11-game stretch in San Francisco. Again, 94 runs, and that's more than the team's ever produced in an 11-game stretch. The 19 runs are the most the Giants have ever scored at Coors Field, and the most since they scored 19 against the Dodgers in 2013. Hunter Pence drove in 7, and Brandon Belt drove in 6 that day at Dodger Stadium. I remember that one. The last time the Giants scored 12-plus runs in the first 3 innings on the road, you have to go all the way back to 1993 when they led the Phillies 13-0 and eventually won 15-8. Like 1993? Yeah, that's kind of when I was born. The Giants started the day having been outscored by 63 runs, and I got to check out their run differential now because that was the second worst in the National League. So you do the math, you got 19 and plus 2, so you go 21 to 3, so they got 18. So now they've cracked it down to 49, which still is not that great if you're still being outscored by 49 runs by your opponent, but it's something. And I think the key in the game, the most entertaining part, was going on Twitter when they're up by 10-plus and you're just seeing that the Rockies scribbled out the score on the scoreboard. When does that really happen when you're watching the Giants? That never happens. But after all this being said, though, the mind is not going to change when it comes to the trade deadline. I'm super happy that Brandon Crawford did his thing with his no-trade clause. I'm super happy that Jeff Samardzija has been performing in the month of July and then in his last 3 starts. But also, you can't deny the fact that they need to at least get a young core going. And they need to get something. Hopefully for Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith. I love them. They're great players. But at right now, you could get as much as you can for them. Maybe not Madison Bumgarner. Maybe you could have gotten more for him 2 or 3 years ago. But right now, you can get him for more than you could have gotten him for last year. And that's fact. And Will Smith is coming in, and he's one of the better closers in the game right now. And those are a hot commodity when it comes to the playoffs. So we'll see where he goes. And right now in the pecking order, according to Jeff Passan, Buster Olney, Will Smith is up there higher than Madison Bumgarner. From the 510 on the Chill Not Everybody text line, balls are juiced and they're playing at Coors. They still scored 19 runs. Give them a break. The balls have been juiced and people and teams have played at Coors. Have they scored 19 runs this season? No. It doesn't happen every time. God, give them a break. It's like Oh, man. There's always excuses. There's always excuses. All right. Coming up, it is NFL Insider Week on 95.7 The Game, and we had Michael Irvin on, who gave us a taste of what it's going to be like all week. He had some comments from Brian Baldinger, who will be joining us as an NFL Insider throughout the season. He had some comments also from Dan Orlovsky and John Clayton, even though they're not going to be joining us as insiders for weeklies. But we will get to their comments because they did say some interesting things about the Niners, Jimmy Garoppolo, and what to expect for them going forward this season. Stephen Langford in with you, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagadakis.
Stephen Langford in with you on this Tuesday morning as I stumble my way through that intro as the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. Football's back, baby. Football's back, and NFL training camp is less than 2 weeks away, and this football season, 95.7 The Game, is bringing you the biggest names, including Hall of Famers Jerry Rice, Terrell Owens, and Michael Irvin, former 49ers head coach Steve Mariucci, NFL Network's Brian Baldinger, and more. You'll hear from all of our NFL insiders this week on 95.7 The Game, and we heard yesterday from Baldy, who does Baldy's Breakdowns, Brian Baldinger from NFL Network, and he had some comments that made the rounds. We're going to get to those. And we also had Michael Irvin, who joined Damon Bruce, who did a weekly with him last season and was fantastic. He's going to be back again this season, and he came out firing. And then we also got some comments from Alex Boone, who's a former 49ers guard, and that man, he's got a future in media. He's got a future in media. And this was the comment that kind of kicked off everything for the morning for NFL Insiders Week. And it was Brian Baldinger spitting out hot fire.
The quarterback is the biggest part of it. This is a team that has to go out and win 10 games this year. And if they don't, regardless of what Garoppolo does, it's going to be a major disappointment. And, you know, heads will roll, as they like to say.
Chilton Autobody text line 95795. Brian Baldinger says that heads will roll, meaning that someone's on the hot seat. And I don't know whether it's GM John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan. As far as I'm concerned, it all depends on how the season goes, because you got guys that John Lynch has drafted, and you got Nick. This is one of the bigger drafts that they've come by. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but in the fourth round, they drafted a punter, right? And from the looks of it, when you draft a punter in the fourth round, it seems like you're kind of swinging for the fences. You're pulling a Brandon Crawford at Coors Field. You're trying to hit a home run. But there is some way in which you should feel confident about this punter, because he comes from Australia, and Bradley Pinion's no longer. But he comes from Australia, and he's part of this whole punting organization over in Australia who played with Australian rules football, and these guys, they end up making their way to the NFL, and the lead punter in the NFL is the Seahawks, Michael Dixon, and he did that in his rookie year. He was an all-pro. And so if you get a guy like Mitch Wishnowsky, who's the fourth-round pick, Jalen Hurd comes through, Nick Bosa comes through, and all these draft picks come through, but somehow the offense manages to just go 8-8, and that's the reason for it. I mean, you could be looking at Kyle Shanahan, but for the most part, chill not about text line 95795. If you think it's going to be Lynch or Shanahan, who is going to be on the hot seat this year? I think that's the one kind of area that we're all searching for. But Brian Baldinger came on yesterday and said the Niners need to win 10 games for it not to be a disappointment. Is that the line you're drawing right there? 10 games? I'm thinking it's like I was always thinking 9. That's kind of where I was at before then.
And one win doesn't seem like a whole ton, but I mean, if you go 9-7, is that it? Are you officially going to say, hey, we need to move on and try and get a new front office here? Because right now, this team, as far as we've seen, they've just been plagued by injury. Whether it was Jerick McKinnon at the start of training camp, whether it was Jimmy Garoppolo in the third week of the season, and you're expecting these guys to really come through. And I'm wondering what this offense is going to look like. They added Tevin Coleman. Matt Breida was hurt partly last year, too. They were plagued by injury, and you don't really know how to get a read on this offense. And I'm wondering if they can get this team to 10 wins. And he says, regardless of what Garoppolo does, if they're not getting to 10 wins, then it's going to be a disappointment. I'm wondering, Chilton Autobody text line 95795, if you agree. But John Lynch, he's taken some swings here in this draft. And if these guys don't perform, who knows? Who knows? But also, Brian Baldinger came out and said this about the 18-game season for the NFL.
It's going to get to 18 games. It's going to be better for the fans. It's going to be interesting for the postseason. And I think that's just where it's going to go, whether it happens next year or wherever. I just think that it's – you can write it down. It's going to happen.
So an 18-game season is going to happen. And Dan Orlovsky came on also right before Brian Baldinger talked about how stupid it would be to have an 18-game season because – your strategy would be, okay, we got to give these guys a 16-game limit, but would you really want to see a game where a backup quarterback is going to be in? And then if you're going deeper into it, what if you bring in a backup left tackle? Left tackle, you can make the argument, is the most important position on the field, especially if you have a right-handed quarterback or a right-armed quarterback. And you need a guy to protect his blind side. If you got a backup left tackle in there, I mean, say you're going against the Bears and you got Khalil Mack coming in on the blind side and you have your backup left tackle in there. That's no fun for anybody. So an 18-game season, Brian Baldinger says it's going to be inevitable. And I don't know if I want that. If I were to have an 18-game season, I'd have them playing all 18 games and just skip the last two preseason games. Give them two preseason games to start out, 2 weeks to really refresh and get going with the offense, and then try and keep going with the rest of the season for 18 games and just have them all play, and then just have maybe an extra bye week and just elongate the NFL season. That might not be possible, but something else besides just giving these guys a 16-game limit. I understand that the strategy could be interesting to watch and how coaches go about things. And Dan Orlovsky also mentioned that it's just a strenuous thing for the coaches, an unnecessary thing for the coaches to try and really figure out which guys to sit, which weeks they're going to be out, just because they're playing a team where maybe their cornerbacks aren't as strong, so they're going to sit one of the wide receivers. I don't know exactly what the benefit of it is. I guess money is the main thing, just bringing in revenue, because that's what sports are all about anyway, right? But Dan Orlovsky, he was talking about Jimmy G, and we asked about him because this year It's a make or break. And Joe Lowen Dibbs asked him what he wants to see from Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's what I want to see out of Jimmy G. Don't be hesitant. You don't want to see the, when you get back in the pocket and the ball, you know, go side to side and, okay, can I pull the trigger or not? You know, you want to see him so confident in himself, in his decision making, in the knee, in the play call, in the people around him, that there's no hesitancy.
Sure.
The ball is 1-2-3-4-5 out, or 1-2-3-4-5-6-7 out, and there's confidence with it.
You see a classic low shirt in there. But he's saying that he wants to see the confidence, and the one aspect of coming back from injury is you don't want a guy to be scared, and that's been sort of the knock on Derek Carr, even though the stats are there and the completion percentage really isn't as bad as people make it out to be. But they're saying he never really came back from that back injury that he suffered throughout the season, then also the leg injury that he suffered against the Colts. And by the way, I was on Christmas Eve, and I remember my mom asked me to mash the potatoes after that game was going on. And let me tell you, those potatoes were mashed like they've never been mashed before. I was pretty angry after that. But Yeah, that's what you want to see, though, from a guy coming back from injury. You don't want to see him hesitating. You don't want to see a guy too really scared to throw to his receivers, because this year you got a bunch of speedy dudes, and you're going to want to create some time in the pocket and outside of the pocket. When the offensive line has a breakdown, you can't expect them to be perfect every game. And the offensive line, you got guys that are pretty questionable right now, and you're going to have to run. You're going to have to bounce out the pocket, and when Marquise Goodwin is going deep, you're going to want to be able to at least have the confidence to throw that ball downfield while you're outside of the pocket and outside of these defenders. It's pivotal for him to do that, and he's right. But Michael Irvin was on, and he also talked the pressure for Jimmy Garoppolo.
But it is a lot of pressure on Gropp now, when he's coming back off that injury, and you have pieces around him that he didn't have around him when he went on that five-game win streak. Now, and it wasn't expected, it's expected now.
Especially with George Kittle, too, and the emergence of that guy. I wonder how defenses are going to game plan for him. Because last year, it was almost a sure thing. Now, Nick Mullins had, I think, he had the highest percentage of wide receivers that were it's a tough stat to really try and quantify here, but basically his receivers were getting open more than any other receivers in the league, and George Kittle was one of them. It felt like on a play action, Nick Mullins would just roll to the outside and George Kittle was wide open down the middle, and next thing you know, he's getting 220 yards receiving. And so there's a lot of pressure on Jimmy Garoppolo to keep that up, but you also got guys like Dante Pettis and Deebo Samuel coming in. And Dan Orlovsky talked about Deebo Samuel and the role for these wide receivers.
Deebo is going to be a great addition in Kyle's offense, because he's going to be the guy that Kyle's going to do all the fun stuff with. Kyle is a play caller where he's not scared to try new stuff, but you've got to have guys to try stuff with. So those receivers, if they can continue to take steps, you know, continue to win in man-to-man coverage, continue to understand where the soft spots are in zones, their ability to do a bunch of different stuff, creativity-wise, with this offense is only going to allow Jimmy to be more comfortable.
And Michael Irvin talked about them on the Damon Bruce Show.
Well, if the room is great, and you sound proven, they are proven themselves, just not at this level and in this place. Because all of these guys have come from somewhere and have had success at where they were. Now it's just a matter of proving themselves here, right now, with this team.
And he continued on the wide receivers.
What am I going to work on for the first 3 weeks of that month? Nothing but coming off the ball. Let me see you release on press. I want you to be so inundated with releases against press coverage that you're looking forward to people pressing you as opposed to being so afraid of being pressed. Most young guys come in the league, that's the last thing they want to see you do. They don't want to see you come up and press them. I'm going to work with a guy for 3 weeks on this press coverage alone. The rest of it is understanding how this game is played. Don't tell me you know how to get open. I want you to tell me you know when to be open.
Now I'm interested to see the balance between Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan, because if these wide receivers aren't ready, it's going to be, oh, Kyle Shanahan didn't have them prepared. Kyle Shanahan didn't teach them right in those first 3 weeks that Michael Irvin talked about. But if they look like they're open and Jimmy G's just not getting the passes to him, not getting the ball in their hands, then at that point you're just thinking, wow, do we really need to move on from Jimmy G? Mike Florio came out earlier this June and talked about whether Kirk Cousins would still be an option just because of the success he's had with Kyle Shanahan over in Washington. And if Jimmy Garoppolo somehow doesn't get the ball in these receivers' hands, you're wondering, I mean, you're hearing Michael Irvin say there's pressure on Jimmy Garoppolo. You're also hearing Dan Orlovsky, who played in Kyle Shanahan's system at one point in his career, saying that these wide receivers, once they learn to get open, it's just a question of whether you're getting the ball in his hands. And so I'm wondering where the pressure is going to be, and we're always putting blame
on somebody. We have to. That's what we do as sports fans, right? We blame somebody for the problems that are going on. And if the 49ers aren't winning, there's going to be people looking to blame, and you're wondering where that blame is going to go, because there's always is. And it's sad, but it always is. And Alex Boone was on with Damon Bruce as well, or rather Bonte Steine and Guru, and he talked about the first head to roll, if there are heads a rolling.
I think it might be John Lynch. I mean, obviously you can't blame a quarterback for saying, hey, man, you blew out your ACL. It's your fault. Like, you can't really sit there and throw anything at him about it. That's not his fault. It's also not his fault that they gave him that money. I mean, what was he supposed to say? No, I'm good, guys. I'm going to wait. I should just wait a little bit. So at the end of the day, it falls on the GM. Hey, listen, you gave him this contract, and we haven't seen any production out of it. Now, I know he was hurt, but at the end of the day, we're still paying him a lot of money to help us win games, and we're not doing that. So we need to go in and fix the little problem that we're having, and I think that that would be the GM, because there's no depth. If you had depth, you'd still be winning.
So he's saying John Lynch's head will roll, basically saying that if they're not getting to where they need to be, then John Lynch is going to be the one, just because you can't blame Jimmy Garoppolo for the contract. But he also said this, Alex Boone did, on it possibly being a failed season.
It's not a successful year unless you win it all. I think you guys are looking at this from a different angle. See, I always looked at it from the angle that the coaches told us, unless you win the Super Bowl, because you get to hold that nice trophy, you have done nothing. You are literally the first place losers. So for us, it was always, hey, you got a winner, it's nothing.
And Brian Baldinger, he said earlier that if you don't win 10 games, then it's going to be a disappointment. Well, here's Alex Boone responding to that.
I mean, it's the NFL, and people are like, ah, 10 wins, and it's heads will roll. And I agree. I mean, I think it should be even more. I mean, you're out there to win every year, and you've been watching this team build for so long. You have all the pieces in the right place. You have a player at every position that can lead, if not lead the team or that position. It's time for this team to take the next step, and it's been a long time. I think since I was there that they've taken those steps, and this is the time right now.
Chilton Autobody text line 95795. If you feel like the Niners can win the division, even, because from what they're saying, it sounds like Alex Boone, he's expecting them to possibly win the division, if not get in the NFC wild card. And 10-6 would probably get you there. But it's a question of whether the Rams are going to go 11-5 or 12-4. And Chill Nobody text line 95795. I want to see where you're at on this as far as whether the Niners can just reach that hump. Can they actually reach the Super Bowl this year? Because Alex Boone, as a player, that's the mindset each and every single time. Every single season is, we're going to make Super Bowl. We're going to make Super Bowl. And he knows what it's like. He's been there. And this year, he's saying if they're not thinking Super Bowl, then what are they even doing here? And if this team stays healthy, though, who knows what's to come when you got Jalen Hurd? Is it just as a third rounder? You got Dante Pettis, Marquise Goodwin. I'm going to assume that they're going to put Dante Pettis on the outside along with, you know, Marquise Goodwin in the slot and Deebo Samuel on the outside as well. And then switching up with Jordan Matthews every now and then. It all depends on how Jalen Hurd does. And then you can rotate Trent Taylor and Kendrick Bourne in the slot if you want to when you're going four wide. So they got a lot of pieces and a lot of pieces to work with. And they also got Tevin Coleman. That's where the pressure for Kyle Shanahan, I think, comes in. And also the pressure for Tevin Coleman, because these two, it's always what they've done in the past. They've had success in Atlanta. What Tevin Coleman did with him, he should make it work in this 49ers offense. So, I mean, you could argue that there's just as much pressure on Tevin Coleman to produce as well, especially with these running backs that you really look, Jerick McKinnon, he's great when he's healthy, but the man has never been able to stay healthy. That's the nerves you have with Jason Verrett on the other side of the ball. If, I mean, from the 707 on the Chilton Autobody text line, the 49ers secondary minus Sherman is horrific. The offensive line is not that good. This will not be a 10-win team. Look, if Jason Verrett, though, if that man can stay healthy now, it's been, what, 3 games in 5 seasons or 5 games in 3 seasons? It's so you don't have much faith in saying, yeah, that guy's going to be here for the entirety of the 16-game regular season, but as far as it goes, if you got Verrett on that side of the ball, that guy's a damn good cornerback. He's a damn good cornerback. And if you put him on the opposite side of Richard Sherman, who wasn't thrown to at all last season, he's getting that respect treatment. He's getting that respect. If you got those guys, I don't see the secondary looking that bad. Now, you do have questions at safety, obviously. But with those two corners, though, and you also got the pass rush, which is going to put a lot of pressure on the corner quarterback. And you got D Ford and Nick Bosa. As long as Nick Bosa gets signed from the you got them both coming from the outside. There's a lot of positives to look at, but it's like it's Super Bowl or bust, according to Alex Boone. And from the where was it? From the 408 on the Chillin' Everybody text line, hoping what Boone said motivates these guys. I think they can make the playoffs. We'll see after that. And also from the 707, Super Bowl. Let's start with a healthy season where Jimmy plays for at least 14 games. You know, that's what's interesting about people saying it's a make or break season, though. It's because if you play the – oh, my gosh, I'm just being distracted here by the text line. But – they're saying it's a make or break season, but also we don't know how this team is going to be when they're healthy. And if they're healthy and they go 8-8 or 7-9, then you're wondering who's going to be the people out there who are saying, oh, we need to give this 49er team another shot. We need to give this 49er team another shot, because this guy right here from the from the 408. Next season would line up to be our year for a must-win Super Bowl. This year, we need progression. Is that where you're at? Chill Nobody text line 95795. Do you think this is a season of progression, or is this really a make-or-break season where you got guys like Brian Baldinger saying if you don't win 10 games, then heads will roll?
The quarterback is the biggest part of it. This is a team that has to go out and win 10 games this year. And if they don't, regardless of what Garoppolo does, it's going to be a major disappointment. And, you know, heads will roll, as they like to say.
And you're hearing from Alex Boone. You're hearing from these guys. This is what we're going to bring you on 95.7 The Game with NFL Insiders all week. And I mentioned the name Jerry Rice earlier in that read, if you were tuned in at 5:37 in the morning. But Jerry Rice is going to be joining Jolo and Dibs coming up here this morning at 8:30. So we'll get the thoughts from him, what he expects for these wide receivers. Because right now, I think with Deebo Samuel, Dante Pettis, who's trying to emerge as a young up-and-coming wide receiver, and Marquise Goodwin, who, quite frankly, has a lot of pressure on him too, because he won that quickest player in the NFL award and won the $1 million, the gold award for running or whatever it is. And you got a lot of pressure, man. There's everything has to work. Everything has to work. And real quick, I just want to get Michael Irvin's thoughts on Zion Williamson. I haven't even heard this cut yet, but he put this on the cut sheet, so I'm wondering what he said about Zion Williamson.
Everything is under the scope. So now Zion comes in. Forget all this hard work this man has done to become the number one pick. We want to start calling him, okay, he's lazy. He's not a worker. Dude, stop. Let's just stop. It's just the man just got off the circuit of taking on all these winning these awards and everything.
Look, I think that if Zion Williamson, if basketball doesn't work out, the man can be, I don't want to say a linebacker, because a linebacker, I feel like you have to know so much and be very football savvy in order to have success as a linebacker. But that man could probably be a tight end. Hey, if you just run out there and run a go route, run between the safety and the corner here and then see if it works out, use your speed. I could see him doing that. And also from the 650 on the Chill Not a Body text line, playoffs. Did you just say playoffs? Is it playoffs or bust, or is it a progression season for the Niners? It feels like it's a progression season every year. And with Jimmy Garoppolo, if he stays healthy and you're in week 13, and you're aiming for playoffs, you should be aiming for that. Jerry Rice coming up at 8:30 with Joe Lo and Dibs next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.